Well, thank you all. It's great to be here. I bring warm greetings from your smaller neighbor to the south, and want to note the fact that this is really the first ever time that we've had a conscious effort to bring together stations from the United States to attend this conference here in Canada. We have about eight representatives from different community radios around the United States with us, representing Ohio, Texas, Wisconsin, New York, Colorado. And as I look out on this conference, it reminds me also, of course, of our own community radio conferences. We have one called the Grassroots Radio Coalition that usually meets every year but didn't meet this year. So those of us that are here are meeting in the spirit of the Grassroots Radio Coalition. And I think about a saying that applies very much to community radio that we used to use in other political organizations in the States. We the willing, led by the unknowing, have been doing so much with so little for so long that now we can do almost anything with absolutely nothing. I think that really embodies the spirit of community radio, is people coming together and making the impossible possible. This year happens to be a fairly auspicious one in the history of community radio. Community radio is celebrating its 60th anniversary this year. And what's interesting is community radio sprang forth simultaneously in several different places in 1949. In the mountains of Colombia, a priest started an educational radio station that was built around the concept of community information. At the same time, in Bolivia, the tin miners gathered together and created their own radio station. First one, and then many, reached up to 26 radio stations run by the Bolivian tin miners in the 1970s. And they say of those radio stations that in times of peace, the community radios were integrated into the life of the community, often replacing the telephone and the postal service. But in times of crisis, the community radios became the only source of information that people could trust. At the same time, in 1949, a couple of pacifists who had been conscientious objectors to World War II, led by a man named Lewis Hill, who had worked in commercial radio, and he would read his newscast and he'd have to stop in the middle of the newscast to do a commercial, and then he'd go on. And he said, there's got to be another way. There's got to be a way to do radio without commercials. And even in 1949, he said, all of the media, all of the rest of the media is leading a drumbeat for war. And we need to have a radio network for peace. And he created Pacifica Radio in Berkeley, California. 1949, no one had FM radios yet. AM radio was the way of the times. In fact, an interesting coincidence, Edwin H. Armstrong, who invented FM broadcasting, he got a patent for FM radio in December of 1933, but his first demonstration of FM radio technology in the city of Alpine, New York, was June 11th, 1935. So we're celebrating that anniversary as well. All of these experiments in community radio, these efforts, have commonalities. The idea of serving a community, of giving voice to the voiceless. And today, community radio is a worldwide movement growing all the time. AMARC, the World Association of Community Broadcasters, which is headquartered right here in Montreal, not far from this building, works with community radio stations across the globe. In India, they just created a community radio sector about a year and a half ago. In England, community radio for years was limited to these short-term licenses, and they finally have a community radio sector developing there. In Africa, community radio is blossoming across the continent. It's a time of possibility, but also a time of threat. In the United States, we saw several sort of waves of development of community radio. The beginnings in 1949 with the pacifists. The early 1960s, a blossoming of community radio stations that were hooked into the beat generation and free expression. In the early 1970s, a group of community radio stations coming forth in response to the Watergate, Richard Nixon, and the Vietnam War. Again, looking for sources of information that were not available anywhere else, that were being suppressed by the corporate media. And then, in the 1980s, again, during the time of the Iran-Contra scandal and Ronald Reagan's presidency. And then in the 1990s, we saw a new community radio sector emerging, the low-power FM stations that serve an even smaller community, maybe a housing complex, maybe a small neighborhood. And these stations are now blossoming and growing across the United States. The new technologies of radio give us incredible possibilities. There was a story about agents during World War II that would drop in behind enemy lines with just a little radio transmitter sending back information. And today, we can have community radio reporters across the globe who can go into an internet cafe and upload an MP3 file, and the same day it's put together and assembled into a half-hour radio broadcast called Free Speech Radio News that brings the voices of people from around the globe to a listening audience across the country and across the world. Another thing that's incredibly important in community radio is volunteerism and honoring the contributions of volunteers. So often we've seen a struggle within stations where people try to professionalize and professional staff pushing out the voices of volunteers. And I think that what we have all found in our own experiences in the community radio world is that in fact, community radio is the whole that's greater than the sum of the parts. It's not merely a patchwork quilt, but rather it's a whole thing that's created from all the different pieces of the knowledge and resources of all the people that come to the table. And that's one of the things that we honor in community radio and conferences like this. So I'm very, very pleased to be here as somebody from the United States who's been involved in community radio for a long time and to share with our Canadian counterparts up here, and also to welcome the keynote speaker who's coming up next, David Barsamian. David, I've known David for a couple of decades, and I know him so well that I've got to look in the book here to introduce him. David Barsamian is the founder of Alternative Radio, which is broadcast on radios, that's the French side, sorry. Alternative Radio, the independent weekly series based in Boulder, Colorado, and broadcast on public and community radio stations across the United States, Canada, Australia, and elsewhere. His interviews and articles have appeared in The Progressive magazine, The Nation, Z magazine, and other journals. And he's the author of numerous books with such luminaries as Noam Chomsky, Howard Zinn, Iqbal Ahmed, Tariq Ali, and Edward Said. David has been has received numerous awards, including the ACLU's Upton Sinclair Award for Independent Journalism. And in the past year, he's been to Pakistan 3 times, giving lectures in the Iqbal Ahmed Lecture Series in Karachi, Islamabad, and Lahore, and conducting interviews and reporting back to the United States and elsewhere about his experiences there. David Barsamian started in community radio in Boulder, Colorado. I knew him there as news director at KGNU, one of the luminary community stations in the United States, and has gone on to build the alternative radio empire, and his programs are available, and if any of you are interested, on the web at alternativeradio.org. Let's welcome David Barsamian.